Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our mighty fortress. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you teach us that we cannot live on mere bread alone, but we live on your holy word. So ever feed your flock this day. Strengthen us with your word. You alone have the words of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, it is that bad time of the year again. When I was a young boy and we entered Lent, I would always say, oh, it's that bad time of the church year again, when we are reminded how bad we are. And we put ashes on our foreheads on Ash Wednesday, and we kneel when we confess our sins. And the pastor seems to always take a little extra time of silence to confess really all of our really bad sins. And we're told that we're sinners and we need to cry and weep over our sins and repent. It's that bad time of the year. Well, indeed, as we look at the cross, we are reminded just how bad we are. Our sins led to the very death and murder of God's Son. Ye who treat sin lightly, behold the cross. And we repent and do cry and weep and mourn and realize indeed how bad we are. But more so, Lent is a season to rejoice in how good God is. It's about the goodness and mercy of our God in giving His Son who would die on a cross. That's Lent, and that's every season. The goodness and mercy of our God. You know, people have asked me the last few days, Pastor, what are you going to preach about your final Sunday after 18 plus years? And what was my response? I'm going to preach about the same thing I preached about for 18 plus years. And that's about the mercy and love of God, the goodness of God in giving His Son, Jesus. Aren't you going to preach about something special? And my response is what? Tell me something more special than the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, God's Son. That is the special thing. It's always the special thing. And so we gather this day to hear the Word of God, and I come to preach the Word of God and give you the sacrament, because that's what counts, the blood of Jesus and the mercy of God. And Genesis 3, along with the Gospel, are all about the mercy of God. People say Genesis 3 is the worst chapter of the Bible, the fall into sin. And indeed, it is bad to fall into sin. But I suggest it's also a great chapter of the Bible, because it teaches us already in chapter 3 how the Almighty Holy God will deal with sinners, and His mercy for sinful people, and His mercy for Pastor Busher and for all of you. And there are three things. What would you expect on a final Sunday, Millie, than 3 points to Pastor Busher's sermon? Maybe five, seven? 3 things of the mercy of God. And this summarizes things well. God calls sinners to repentance. God crushes the enemy for us. And God covers sin. And that's the gospel. That's what we gather to hear. And we long for and hunger for. First of all, Genesis 3 teaches us how God in mercy as a father calls sinners to repent. Adam and Eve sinned. And what is God's response to sin? We sin. What is God's response to sin? God had just created a wonderful universe for Adam and Eve. He made it all for them and us. We're the crown of creation. He put all these trees and animals in their midst and said, you can eat of anything, but just this one tree don't eat of. But everything else you can eat of, it's a banquet set before Adam and Eve of all this wonderful food. And of course, they eat the one thing they shouldn't eat. And then they blame it on each other and God for what happened to the devil. And what is God's response? Well, God is hurt. He's a father. He's disappointed. He's angry. He hates sin. He always will. But notice what God doesn't do. God does not come as a big fireball and burn them all up. God does not strike them with some terrible disease, suffer now. God does not banish them from His sight forever. Get out of my sight, I hate you. God does not shake His earth and let them fall off into the atmosphere somewhere. Goodbye. We have a God who walks to his wayward children. Not even running, just walking in the garden. This is a father seeking his wayward child in love. This is the good shepherd after the one, or in this case, two lost sheep. And he simply asks questions, where are you? He knows where they're at. He asks them, what have you done? He knows what they've done. He's God, but he's bringing about, calling them to repent, trying to elicit repentance and confession. Come on, just tell me. Tell me you've sinned. Tell me you've done wrong. I'm going to forgive you. I'll send my son. It's all going to be okay. But please just repent. Confess. I'm your father. I love you. I'm on your side. Adam and Eve don't do a very good job here, and neither do we at times, but he still pleads. He pleads all the time here. Repent. Confess. I love you. I want to forgive you. But you need to repent and confess. Come clean. You know, do we have ties to Russia? And now there's wiretapping. Do we need to have an investigation in the church of some kind that I'm missing? Investigations for ties to Russia? Investigating now, I guess, wiretapping? What's the new investigation of what someone's done out there? This is the problem, not Russia or wiretapping or whatever else is out there. The problem is this. It's sin. We have ties to sin. We are sinners. We're tied to sin. We need to be freed. And only Christ can free us. No investigation needed. It's the truth. And we come clean. We don't try to hide it. We repent. This is the church. Secondly, God promises to crush the enemy's head and to crush him and defeat him along with sin and death too. And of course, I'm talking about the devil. Notice Genesis 3 again, how God treats the sinner. They've sinned. God talks to them. He's going to indeed lay out the temporal consequences of their sin, of pain, and the ground's going to be cursed and so forth. But then God quickly comes between Adam and Eve and the devil. Picture the scene, the devil, the serpent there, and Adam and Eve, they've sinned, they're naked, they're shamed. And God quickly addresses the devil first. He's the mighty fortress between the devil and humans. He's our shield, our protector. And he gets between them, if you will, and he talks to the devil, and he gives the promise to us, the curse of the devil, that one's going to come, devil. A man's going to come from Eve. A man is going to come and bruise your head or crush your head. Probably a better translation. Bruising means that not really gone, crushed, you're dead, you're gone, you're defeated. Going to crush your head. And maybe the devil laughed, thinking, a man's going to crush me, a mere mortal man? Not realizing that God himself, the immortal, would become a mortal man in his son and crush the devil's head. God, the fortress, the defender. Get away, devil, already. I'm protecting my people. They're mine. I'm going to save them and I'm going to crush you. Already the promise. How God deals in mercy with sinners. And in the temptation of Jesus, Jesus doesn't totally crush the devil's head yet, but he gives it a good kick. A good kick in the head to the devil. You had this great showdown in Matthew 4 of the devil and the Son of God. Oh my, what's going to happen? Satan, Lucifer, and the Son of God. A great showdown, a great battle. What's going to happen here? Let's all watch. And it's over so fast. It's over so fast. Christ totally defeats the devil. It's not even a match. God and the devil, it's over. It doesn't have to struggle here at all. There's three Bible verses. Man shall live by bread alone. Do not put God to the test. Worship God only. From one book, Deuteronomy, three little verses, be gone. And the devil leaves knowing, I'm done for. A good kick in the head. And he'll crush his head at Calvary's cross and in the resurrection. And the devil no longer can accuse. The devil can't take away our faith. He can't take away the power of your baptism. He cannot take the sacrament out of your mouth. He can't take away the body and blood of Jesus from you. He cannot take eternal life from you. He can't take any of that from you. You belong to Christ. You know, it's a hard day today. I was going to call in sick, but Pat said I couldn't call in sick today. But I didn't really want to come. I wanted to come, but I didn't want to come. And I was told you're all going to be very nice at the closing meal. So that's very comforting to me that you're all going to be very nice to me at the closing meal. Ha, ha, ha. But you know, in some ways I feel kind of like a loser. leaving a wonderful congregation, and you feel like kind of like there's grief and loss, and you feel like a loser getting out of bed, and I felt that way. It's hard. Because you guys, for 18 years, have been very tolerant and very loving and forgiving. You know I'm a bit of an oddball. Maybe not a bit of an oddball, maybe a really big oddball for a pastor. So I talk a lot about food, and I like sports, and I like the Bible, and that's really about it. I'm a pretty simple man, aren't I? And, you know, if you sit here too close, you might get a little spray on you when I preach. You know, I like to needle and tease maybe a little bit too much at times. I like to give a pat on the back, and sometimes I forget it's a person that maybe can't take my big slug on the back. You've always forgiven. And you've always shown a lot of love to my family and I, and always been a wonderful church to serve. And so you feel like you've lost. And the text today reminds us, no matter what, we've never lost. We are winners in Jesus. Though we separate at times and people come and go out of our lives and we have grief about these things, we are winners in Jesus, all of us. Christ has defeated Satan. He's taken away sin. He's defeated death. Easter's coming. We are not losers. We are winners in Jesus. No matter whether it's me, Pastor Smithy, Pastor Schultz, whoever it is, we are winners in Jesus. We have the victory. Our names are written in heaven. We are His forever, aren't we? And so even though it's a hard day, it's really not hard. No day is hard if you have Jesus. And that's the truth, isn't it? No day is really that sad or that hard when you have Jesus Christ, the victor, the mighty fortress. And then God covers. He still has to take care of sin. He's going to get to the devil. Then He covers their sin. And notice at the end of the text, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. And I mentioned in class today, you have here the two ways that mankind tries to deal with his sin or her sin. Adam and Eve make fig leaves. They go to work. They have this brilliant idea. We're cut off fig leaves and sew them together somehow and make garments. It's all by their human effort that they try to cover their sin. It doesn't work. Friend, your human efforts, your good works are not going to cover your sin. They won't work. Try and try. I'll be really good. I'll change my life. I'll reform. Try and try. But your good works are never going to cover your own sin. Won't happen. But God is merciful. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. The Lord God clothed them. Either you're trying to cover your own sin by doing all the wonderful things you think you do, that's self-righteousness and that leads to hell. God must cover you. And God covers you with the skin of his son, Jesus, the lamb who was sacrificed. God covered you in your baptism. He continues to tighten the garment around you when you are absolved. He covers you in communion as you eat the body, drink the blood of Christ. He is in you and covers you, and so you are righteous. You know, Ron Tumeyer was at our home this week fixing some things in our home. And I had an extension cord in the garage that wasn't working. You plugged into it, and it wouldn't give any power. I said, Ron, should I just pull this extension cord out of the garage because it's not working anyway? Something's broke. And Ron said, let's try something, Pastor. And you'll never guess what Ron did to make the plug work. He plugged it in. You know, Pastor, things kind of work if you haven't plugged in. Yeah, there's power then when you're plugged in. And my prayer for all of you is stay plugged into Jesus. Stay plugged into Jesus. Don't get caught up in who the minister is or who the elders are or who this person and that person is. Don't get caught up in all that. Stay plugged into Jesus. He is the power of salvation. He is the power of forgiveness. He is the power of peace. He's the power of eternal life. He's the power of the resurrection of your body. He's the power. Stay plugged into Jesus, church. Hear the Word of God and keep hearing the Word of God and stay plugged in. Take the sacrament and take it some more and take it some more and take it some more. Kids, youth, hear the Word of God. Commune. Stay plugged in to Jesus. That's the good summary. God calls us to repentance. God crushes the devil. God covers sin. First Lutheran, hear the word of God. Keep hearing. Believe the word of God. And keep believing. That sums it up. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's continue.